Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And thrilled to have Master Gardener Jan Peterzelka back in the studio. Hi, Jan.
Hi, how are you all today?
Doing great. I know a lot of folks out there, they have these little silvery leafed plants probably somewhere in their yards. Maybe they were volunteered there by a neighbor or you planted it themselves. But usually whenever it's humid or there's a little bit of rain, especially now during our monsoon season, you're going to start seeing it blooming with purple or pinkish, maybe even whitish flowers. And tell us a little bit more about what those plants are.
Oh, those are a very famous Texas sage, and there's a lot of different types out there, depending on the different foliage and the flower blooms. But the interesting thing about them is that they really respond to the changes in the barometric pressure. It's not so much the amount of water that you add to them in your sprinkler system or even by hand. It's that change in pressure, and you'll see them pop up all over the place. They're very commonly planted in medians, and right-of-ways, beautiful plants, and I think we all have our favorite one.
Oh, absolutely.
I like the Silver Cloud.
And I love the Texas Ranger.
There you go.
The Texas Ranger are the ones with the sort of brightish, almost neon purpley.
Oh, and the dark green leaf and the bright purple, and another one that's just absolutely gorgeous. I believe it's called Heavenly Cloud, and
yes,
it's white. You don't see those as often as you do the others, but the great part about it is these are perfect plants for El Paso because
yes,
they're very drought tolerant. They're actually called leucophyllum. It's a big word, like mayonnaise, and you just kind of, you know, so you don't remember that. But sage is very easy.
Yes.
And there's many, many cultivars of the sage. There's about 11 of them, I believe, on our plant list.
Right, and you'll see them every year at the Native Plant Sale here at
mm-hmm.
UTEP as well. But they're very common. It's really great to be able to see them much more popular in landscapes around town. And the biggest thing with those guys is do not hedge them. Do not make them into little squares. Leave them alone.
No lollipops. Guilty as charged
globes,
in the past.
Little gumdrops.
Yeah, gumdrops, boxes. I mean, I've seen all sorts. People, like, there's a lot of geometric shapes that people get creative on that.
It's not a box hedge.
Yeah, no, please, please don't. You'll get much more bang for your buck if you just allow that to grow.
That's right.
Butterflies, hummingbirds love the flowers as well. And bees. Birds start perching on the branches themselves. So let the wildlife and the plants do their own thing and put away your tools.
Well, and I think what Denise was saying about not pruning them into the lollipop shapes, and I'm guilty of that, having done it in the past. And so I had to have mine scalped this year to get in there and open up the inside of that plant so that it can develop some new growth. Everything was all dead. I mean, the plant wasn't dead, but lots of dead wood in there. So don't make the mistake I made. I mean, you can manage them if you need to, if you've got sidewalks and stuff, which I do, but you don't have to give them a flat top and or make it look like I call it Dallas hair when we used to tease it all up and make, you know, but really, they're just absolutely magnificent right now.
Well, you know, we've seen these rains falling in this monsoon season, which is usually a marker that sort of transitions us from the summer to the fall. And I think that's something we sort of need to get in the mindset into when we're thinking of our gardening. We have our summer gardens, which probably didn't do much of anything for you this time around because it was so hot and we had such dry conditions for a very long time. So I think maybe people are starting to want to itch to get outside and get their hands dirty and start planting. And usually the most popular things to plant in the fall are fall vegetables.
Right. We have a really great fall season. It's much cooler. The temperatures are more stable and more of an extended time as opposed to our spring.
Mm-hmm.
So really it's a great chance to be able to do some edible gardening out in your yard. And I like to challenge everyone to try something different. I always think, well, I always do X, Y, and Z for my summer garden and, you know, granted, we all have our favorites or standby favorites, but always, you know, challenge yourself to try a little something different. The great thing about fall gardening is a lot of these plants can be directly sown as seeds into the bed. You don't have to, you know, invest in a lot of pricey transplants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anything that you're looking at as far as any kind of leafy greens, your spinach, your some nice lettuce do well, Swiss chard, also great greenery. Then they do really well once they're established in the garden and they'll be able to be conditioned as the temperatures get cooler and eventually colder within the winter time. So go out there and, you know, do like I did. I cut off my cut flower bed this year and I'm done. I'm done with that, you know, and then I'm just excited to start something new. And it's always great to have your standby favorites or Texas sage or permanent fixtures in the garden, but always give yourself a little room to try something that has a shorter growing season.
And just curious, I know that usually people in the spring, you know, tomatoes are the first thing that they think about. And then when you're growing tomatoes, you don't stop growing tomatoes. They just keep coming out and coming out and coming out and coming out. Is there an equivalent of that in our fall vegetables where you're pretty much just having to give it away?
You know what? Really, not so much on that. More so what happens with fall vegetables is if it gets too hot in the spring, they'll start bolting, which means you're going to start sending out flower shoots. Like your lettuce will just start bolting and going to seed, and then it won't taste good at all. So you wouldn't be able to give it away because it'd be too bitter for anybody to eat. So that's another benefit of doing some fall vegetable gardening as well.
Well, and a lot of those, if you know, the more you harvest, the more you're going to get. And there's another thing that comes to my mind. This is the time to plant garlic. And it is so easy. You can go to the grocery store and take a head of garlic apart, clove by clove, plant it about a half an inch to a three-quarter of an inch deep with the pointy end up, and leave it. Right. Now, you have to have patience because you won't be harvesting it until about the end of May or first part of June. But there's nothing like that fresh garlic in your kitchen. And also some of your winter herbs, your dill, this perfect time to plant cilantro. Mm-hmm. I had a lady at a class that I did last week call cilantro Mexican parsley. And I thought, that's a really good description because we use it
a lot.
Isn't
it coriander also?
It is the coriander seed. And those are great ones, too. We talked last week about seed harvesting, and those are great ones to harvest. So this is the time to do that. Parsley is a biennial. And if this is your second year in the ground, it should last you throughout the winter time. And it's a perfect time to garden. I mean, the weather is backed off and it's much cooler. So don't think that gardening is only for the spring and the summer. This is prime time for vegetables and ornamentalists as far as that's concerned.
Well, especially when spring only lasts a week. Spring.
Exactly.
It's 72 degrees one day and it's 95 the next. So
and we don't have
really
the wind that we have in the spring, and that makes a big difference. A lot of your ornamentals, good time to clean them up.
And a little bit of Mother Nature's irrigation as well.
Absolutely. That's that stuff that falls out of the
That's
stock.
Right. Okay. Well, Jan, you were also telling us a little bit about some pomegranates. I know you've had experience growing pomegranates,
yes.
And I know that pomegranate trees are, I guess, maybe a growing crop here in the region.
They claim it's the new pecan crop.
Well, it's a nice what they're considering alternative crops. So areas that are kind of marginal, meaning they have maybe some salt issues, mm-hmm. where pecans really wouldn't do so well, is a great filler to be able to add, you know, pomegranates into the mix. And it's always nice to diversify our plantings. And pomegranates, I like them because they have a great ornamental value in backyard garden. And then the bonus is you get the fruit at the end of the summer.
And in the spring, they have the most gorgeous blossoms that you've ever seen. And like Denise said, then you have your fruit. I have one pomegranate shrub. I call it a shrub tree because you can train them into trees. And you can do that, keep them at a manageable level. I harvested 125 pomegranates last year out of that one. And it's loaded this year. And this is the time to be backing off when you're watering of your pomegranate trees. And people say, well, how do you know that they're ripe? Well, for one thing, there's many different cultivars. Mine is called Wonderful, and it truly is. First of all, the fruit will get nice and red, and the sides of the pomegranate will flatten. And that's an indicator that people call them seeds. They're actually called arils on the inside of the pomegranates are ripening. They're getting that nice, deep red color on them. And a lot of people hesitate because they are a little more difficult to harvest the arils out of the pomegranates, but there's all sorts of good ways to do that. Lots of YouTube videos and so forth that you can look. And even if you happen to pick one that's not quite ripe, you can pop those arils out and just juice them in a blender. Strain it, and the juice is perfectly wonderful. It doesn't have to be that bright, bright red color. They hang on the trees and do well. Too much water, and they'll pop open and split for you. So you just kind of have to keep an eye on that. And so that's why you want to back off on your watering right now.
So how do you peel a pomegranate, Jan?
I cut the end off, and then I use a citrus peeler to section off just like you would an orange or a grapefruit and peel those back. I have a large bowl of water, and I pop those open then under that water. And the arils will sink to the bottom.
Ah.
The pith will float to the top, and I just skim that off. And you can freeze the arils for up to a year.
Wow.
Makes wonderful, of course, wonderful juices. And they are a little more work. I'm sure that's why the juices are so expensive in the store. But they're worth the effort. Lots of antioxidants. Makes wonderful salad dressings. Pop them in salads. All sorts of uses for them. I made a big batch of jelly last year that turned out really well. So there's all sorts of great things that you can do with them. And they really kind of thrive on neglect, very drought tolerant, don't need a lot of fertilizer. So I just, I'm thrilled to death with the one that I have.
So you were talking about the blooms earlier. Are they similar to other fruit trees that you have to thin out the blossoms in order to get the bigger fruit?
A lot of times what happens is that we'll get a windstorm.
Or natural,
Mother Nature does it for you.
Thin them for you. No, I'm serious, because they will, and you are very easily to, you can overload a branch.
You can, very heavy.
So that should be thankful that we have a little windy,
absolutely,
breezy spring around here.
it really does, Mother Nature does her thing. I actually use crutches to prop up the branches this time of the year because I don't want them on the ground. And, of course, once they split open, it's a haven for the birds. And we have to share, but they also, you know, they're very sweet, and so it also attracts ants and things like that. But they're a wonderful fruit if you have a little bit of patience.
And sometimes I've noticed that on pomegranates, if you kind of prune them a little heavy, if you don't have enough foliage on there, sometimes they can get sunburned.
They can. And you'll notice that one side of the pomegranate is this beautiful red, and then the back side is kind of a whitish yellow color. One information I saw said that you could actually prune as you harvest the fruit, because they do get big and heavy.
They do get big.
Wow, that's...
We could do a whole show.
Yeah, right? We almost just have.
On our pomegranate. Well, get me started.
And the little time we have left, I think people are going to, as we get closer and closer to perhaps Thanksgiving or when autumn actually does start, we're going to be seeing a lot of mums in the stores being sold. Mostly, I think, like ornamentals or gift plants, but they are great plants to use in our landscape.
Oh, most definitely. I say get your most bang for your buck. Decorate that nice into a little container garden.
Mm-hmm. So pretty.
Add them to your doorway, and then you can find a permanent home for them in the garden. So we see a lot of those popping up in the garden centers right now, and trees should be coming in much more for our fall planting season, too. So keep your eyes and ears out for that. We're still not done working in the garden.
That's right. And if you have any questions about fall planting, well, you know, keep it tuned here to Good to Grow. We'll make sure to keep you informed. And we want to give you a heads up that next week we are, and we meaning Jan, Denise, and myself, are all going to be here taking your calls for a live call-in show. So we're looking forward to that happening.
Always my favorite.
Next week. We want to know what's on your mind, so make sure you tune in for that. We want to thank Jairus Muller for engineering today's show and Evan Walsh for producing it. And thank you, Jan, for coming back on our program. We'll see you next week.
Very well.
And I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.